Well, thanks for joining me. It's a delight to be here with you today. It's Pray the Chaplain. I'll get you on the air if I can. Take as many calls today as possible. I'll try to keep some of the petitions and answered prayers a little bit shorter. Just another quick programming reminder. I'm going to be at the Shrine of Christ Passion in St. John, Indiana on Monday with Father Rocky. He'll be joining me next Monday, too. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want to give you a lot of prayer. You know, we do it every day here. You can join Father. Please send me your answered prayers. We get them every day, and I'm going to share a couple of those today. If God answers your prayers, it's a miraculous way that cancer shrinks 80% or the finances get, you know, you get an unexpected blessing or that wayward child comes home, you know, relationships get mended. Now write to me. It's drew@relevantradio.com, drew@relevantradio.com, and just mark it answered prayer, or praise report, whatever you want to call it, and send it in, and I'd love to share it, all right? And then send me your prayer intentions right now to Maggie. Maggie's on Twitter, @DrewMarianiShow. It's a great way to stay in touch with us, okay? And Maggie will bring them forward. Two quick intentions. This is for just a little boy, a one-year-old in the hospital who's fighting pneumonia and bronchitis, and that's terrible. Poor parents and poor child, right? I read an intention yesterday about a father who was having issues. I want to share this one. This person says, look, you know, I want you to pray for my faithful Catholic father and husband. It's sad. She said he's having difficulty with his job situation. He had a very successful career, but is currently unemployed. He was laid off with several other white males in his former company's sphere of management. True, we have a lot to be thankful for, but he's now in his 60s. He feels beaten down, and he refers to the bumper sticker, which reads, "Life sucks, and then you die." Would you please pray for him that he'll be lifted up out of this muck and mire, set on his feet, on a rock, and give him a firm place to stand? Thank you, Anonymous. Yeah, we'll pray for you. I'm so sorry to hear that. And as a spouse, your prayers are very powerful. And he's not alone. You know, there's a lot of people who are going through exactly where he is. And when you're in that valley sometimes, life does really stink, doesn't it? And you wonder. You really wonder. It's hard to have hope. It's hard to have faith. It's hard to have trust. It's hard to see the big picture when you're in the middle of the forest, right? All you're seeing is trees right now. But there is a bigger picture. There is a way out of that. God is on your side. I always say that. I really do believe that. And if you're faithful and you pray, you're going to be surprised. You're going to be amazed at what the Lord has in store for you. You got to walk the walk, and you got to let go of the despair and the anxiety and the fear. And you've just got to say to the Lord, look, you are in control. I don't know how you're going to write this story, but I'm sitting back. All of this is in your hands. You do your part, right? You do your part to get the new job, to do whatever's necessary. But you got to rely on God. God will not fail you. I'm telling you right now, he'll never fail you. And you'll be surprised. And I speak from personal experience. I remember being on my knees praying for the Lord to save my business, to bless me, to open a new opportunity. I remember thinking, man, what is going on with the Lord? My prayers are falling on deaf ears, right? And to the point where I got kind of despondent, thinking, what am I doing? Am I praying into the ether? God had something so much better for me, so much bigger, something I could not see at the time, something I never even dreamed of. And yet he was closing this particular path because he was shining his light on another, something that would lead me to you and this broadcast. And I could not have been happier, could not be happier doing what I'm doing. So I just, you know, I just want to let you know that if you're in a difficult place right now, God knows your situation. He knows where you are. I know you might feel desperate. You might feel alone. You might feel overcome by your situation. You might think your situation is different. There's no way out of it. There's always a way out. With prayer and with fasting, you can find ways out of situations that have no way out, okay? I want you to know that. I want you to believe that Christmas, because Christmas really is a time of miracles. Received this email just recently, and she writes to me, "Hey, Drew, the results of my biopsy just came to me, and a doctor's call." You know, when the doctor calls, it's often pretty serious, right? The doctor said, "No cancer, no pre-cancer. Drew, we've been praying for a miracle and started that St. Andrew Novena you talked about. I want to let people know the power of prayer, and I want to thank you, and I want to thank your team, and I want to thank everyone who has prayed for me. I'll continue to pray for all of your listeners daily." I just love that. That's how God can work, right? God is in control. I'm praying today with Maggie. I'll share more answered prayers with you. But Maggie, anything you want to lift up before we start today?
You know what, Drew? Our Relevant Radio Christmas party, staff Christmas party is tonight. And I want to pray that everyone gets there safe and that we have a great time and that everyone just enjoys each other's company because we're kind of spread out all over the country. So it'll be nice to have everybody together.
Now, that's going to be fun, too, isn't it? Father Simon's in, and Patrick, and Cal, you and I will be there, Father Rocky, a lot of the board members, a lot of our behind-the-scenes people who never get mentioned who make Relevant Radio possible. So it's going to be fun. We'll be thinking of all of you today, but let's pray for that. And we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls. And the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world, O font of life. Unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today. It comes from Allie listening in California, Martinez, California. Hi, Allie. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you. I would like to pray for my brother that has been looking for a job forever. Now he's lost his job. He's on the street. And I just want prayers for him to get back on his feet and a job and a home, I guess.
Yeah, no, we'll pray for that. That's a tough, very, very difficult thing. And Lord, I pray for anyone who is up in age, is experiencing ageism and discrimination. I want to pray for those who are unemployed right now and are frustrated because they're just not, the doors don't seem to be opening. And I just, you go before them, Lord, illuminate those paths, give them the direction, open those interviews, give them eloquence and intelligence and the charisma that they need. Lord, I pray for those who struggle today financially, those who are drowning in debt, don't see a way out of it, and those who are just invoking your mercy, Lord. I give you the temporal and the financial needs of many as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Anne is listening in New York City. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'm praying in Thanksgiving. Thanks. I'm praying at Thanksgiving for a friend who had been laid off a week before Thanksgiving. And I've been praying the chaplet and the rosary. And you had prayed for people who were out of work. And 2 weeks later, he found a job that was pretty much the same kind of job that he had before.
Well, praise
God.
It's
pretty unbelievable.
Well, yeah. your call's providential. I'm glad you called in today because for that last caller looking for work, for the email that we received, for those who are struggling in employment, that gives a lot of hope. And thank you. I want to pray for you, okay, and for your intentions and all that's in your heart. I'm grateful you called in to give thanks to God. And Lord, we thank you. You do hear prayers. Our time is not God's time. You know, my when I pray, I want my prayer answered today. You know, I want it right away, you know, at the latest tomorrow. God might say, hey, hang on a second. He may want you to wait a week. He may want you to wait a month. He may ask you to wait multiple months or even a year. We don't know God's time, but if we're patient, if we wait on God, things will work out perfectly. Just take one day at a time if you're in that difficult situation right now. Continue to be steadfast in prayer. Don't give up in your hope. And sit back and let's see what the Lord has in store for you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call. Well, before we go to our next call, Genevieve, you're on deck. Let me go to Maggie. Maggie is always checking Twitter out. A lot of attention's coming there. If you want to follow us, it's at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me at Drew Mariani as well. But leave us your prayer intentions, and we'll bring them to the prayer team here. Maggie, what are we asked to pray for today?
Drew, Anna wrote to us and said, hey, Drew, please pray for my daughter and the St. Martin of Tours youth group as they embark on their weekend retreat to prepare them for confirmation. She says, may they always be guided by the truth and light of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. Robin wrote to us and said, please include my sister-in-law, Vicky, in the chaplet today. She went to the hospital for a respiratory infection on Wednesday and is now placed on life support. So I want to lift Vicky up.
Critical.
Elizabeth wrote to us and said, please lift up Logan, a young child diagnosed with cancer, with hopes that the tumor will shrink so that he can undergo a surgery in February. He's currently receiving chemotherapy. Thank you. And lastly, Drew, this one just made me smile. David wrote to us and said, I just want to praise God for some real blessings in our lives despite an overhanging problem. God is so good.
I love it. Well, let's pray for every one of those intentions. We'll add them to Genevieve, who's praying in Lincoln, California. Hi, Genevieve.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I would like to pray for my son, who's 17, who is recently in the hospital for Crohn's disease. He is undergoing a CAT scan today. I'd like to pray for a miracle to cure him. I'd like to pray for my husband's conversion and sobriety, and my son, Marcello, and myself's mental health and physical health.
All right, well, let's lift up all those really important intentions. I just had a conversation yesterday with a colleague of mine who has Crohn's disease, and I know it's a tough thing. So we'll put your son in the hands of the Lord. Lord, I ask for healing. I pray for my colleague, Marty. I pray for Genevieve's son, and I pray for every intention she brought forward. Lord, I give you sobriety. I give you those who are battling addiction in this moment, whether it is alcohol, drugs, sexual, whatever the proclivity or weakness may be, whatever the area of woundedness that Satan is using, Lord, I just ask you fortify and you heal. I pray for families as well as we turn to you again. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Karen in Montello. Is it Montello? Yeah, Montello, Wisconsin. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to pray for my 10-year-old granddaughter who has thyroid problems, is over 200 pounds, and it's affecting her liver and her kidneys.
Wow.
I'd like to pray for my sister, Jan, whose blood cells, the white and the red, are fighting each other. My son, Jason, who's suffering with depression, and he needs guidance in his life. For all my family to come back to the Catholic Church, and for my cousin, Bob, that just passed away.
Well, lots of intentions. We will pray for all of them. Karen, I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. I certainly want to pray for that situation, your sister's blood cells, you know, attacking one another. I will pray for the depression. I want to pray for that. Anyone who has thyroid problems, Lord, I know it can really affect weight and can affect a whole litany of other things. I just ask, Heavenly Father, in your mercy, that you open the floodgates of your mercy and you allow healing graces to flow for any degenerative disease, any debilitating disease, any weight issue that one is struggling with right now, any blood disorder, any cancer. And I just ask that as we come together as your faithful children today, by the passion and death of your son, that you hear these prayers, and you allow an abundance of miracles to take place. And I thank you for the way you are working. I thank you for the power of this prayer, and I thank you for your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'm going to try on our final deck here to get a few extra calls in today. We'll go to Greg first. He is in central Minnesota. Hi, Greg.
Thanks, Drew. Hi. My offering petition is to step in the shoes of those hungry and yet come to give. The tired ones, are you one of us? And you're just not finding, you're only hearing noise, you're not finding answers. You covered this in your opening.
Well, Greg, I'm are you going through this right now? Are you in that walk?
Yes, I'm in the boat.
You're in the boat. Yeah, it's tough. You're in the storm.
I feel like the 99 would Lord, leave the 99.
Yeah.
If you're really willing.
And you know he will, right? I know you know that. And I'm so glad you got through today because I want you to know I'm going to offer you my personal prayers, too. We pray together here in the chapel. But when I spend time with the Lord a little bit later, I will I'll remember you. It's a difficult time. You know, when you wonder where God is, when you are in that boat, in that storm, you know, the apostles, they trembled with fear. You know, the Lord came into the boat and said, what are you afraid of? And he whispered and calmed the seas, right? God's in control of everything. And that's what we must remember. You know, St. Faustina writes in her diary that a noble soul, you know, sees God in everything. That it placed its trust in God, that it's not confused when time of ordeals come. She says, I know, she wrote this, I think it was Diary Entry 148, she says, I know that God is always the best father, right? And that he has me, he takes care of me. When other souls come to a standstill, when they come to fear, she says, the soul that trusts God will pass on without difficulty or fear. That's what I want you to do. You're in the boat, know that God can calm the storms of your life. I am absolutely convinced of that. Padre Pio said, don't allow sadness to dwell in your soul, right? Sadness prevents the Holy Spirit from acting freely. Open your heart to God. This is your opportunity, Greg. It's your opportunity to really trust, ready to say, Lord, I believe. You know, I'm going to get out of that boat and watch how he comes through for you. We're going to be praying for you. Jose is listening to us in Miramar, Florida. Let me add him to our mix. Hi, Jose. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to pray, please, if you can pray for my nephew. He is in Venezuela. He is a cancer patient, He is fighting, but we know that the Lord is in control. So please pray.
You got it. No, you got it, Jose. No distance, right? There's no distance with God. No geography, no boundaries. Our prayer pierce distance. And Lord, I turn to you right now, and I do ask for this situation. All those who are battling cancer, all those who are in these difficult moments, all those who, Lord, who need your healing touch, I bring you the sick, the lame, the blind, the debilitated, the tired, Lord, those who just need your mercy and healing. We'll add Brendan to this final call, too, this final deck. And Brendan is listening in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hi, Brendan.
Hey, Drew, how's it going?
Well, I'm doing well today. Thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm doing really well. My intentions are for my grandma Jan. She has MS, and she's in nursing home. My friend David with ALS. My friend Pamela, who needs a kidney and a liver.
Wow.
And my friend Ty. My friend Ty is in his 20s. He has heart issues, colon issues, and just that they can all turn fully to God and be well.
Well, Brendan, thank you. I'll pray for your needs. I know you didn't voice anything, but boy, it's amazing, isn't it? How much sickness is out there. And today, I really feel God is, I think he's working in a very powerful way. We've been asking for healing of the body in particular. We all have wounds, soul wounds, emotional, psychological wounds, but Lord, I just ask again for the healing of the body for those with heart issues and kidney problems, those who are waiting for those transplants, those on dialysis, those on chemo. Lord, I give you those who are just overwhelmed by the, I say health is a blessing. It really is. Health is wealth. Lord, I ask you, restore that. Bless your children with health. Joanne in Minnesota, good afternoon. I'll sneak you in as well.
Thank you so much, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I've been suffering from depression for many years, and I'm on three different prescriptions, but it got worse.
Yeah.
Well, I was having my own medical issues some years ago, and then my oldest brother and one of my best friends, Daryl, passed away.
Oh, it's hard.
And then the following year, on Daryl's birthday, my mama passed away.
Oh,
and
sorry to hear that.
I do have, thank you so much, but it still hurts. But I do have some good days, and I thank God so much. And then for some reason, I just start going down again.
Yeah, well, look, here's the thing, Joanne, a couple things. First, it's hard to lose a parent, especially a mother. That pain doesn't go away. Things will get better for you. And, the struggle you're in, it's cyclical. Talk to your doctor. Make sure that the medication is adjusted and right if you're on medication. I think that will really help you. But then also approach all this, as I often say, without fear. I mean, just when you are in these difficult times and you feel desperate and alone, just know that Christ is more powerful than any sickness, any ailment, that he's more powerful than all of hell combined. And at the invocation of his name, every knee will bend, right? Every head will bow. And just repeat this prayer when you feel overwhelmed. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Because that prayer and our faith and our trust, it's the best weapon we have. It's really the key to God's heart. So, Lord, now I give you everyone who's praying with me, wherever they are, whatever their trials, whether it's anxiety, depression, whether it's physical ailments, whether it's financial, whether it's relationship. Lord, whether it's a weak faith, I pray for those most in need of your mercy. I ask you to hear the cries of all your children as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion. sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God. Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great grace, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Faustina.
Pray for us.
St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
St. Peregrine.
Pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escrivá.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
St. Juan Diego.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I return, you're going to hear an amazing story. If you have a loved one who's battling addiction, St. Juan Diego is your go-to saint. It's his feast day today. I'll tell you an amazing story coming right up.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
I cannot do what you ask me. I need some sign to know that it is really her, the Mother of God, who asks for it.
Of course. Just tell me what you want. I'll go and ask the Queen of Heaven.
What faith Juan Diego had, the bishop, seeing that he did not hesitate, dismissed him.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
There really is an amazing story I want to tell you. Of course, today, the 9th of December, we honor St. Juan Diego. And the story that brought about his canonization is absolutely an amazing tale. We'll tell you that, and then again on Monday, I want to tell you the story of Guadalupe, the time in which a human sacrifice was raging, a time in which heaven intervened, a time in which a heavenly gift was given to the human race, and one that persists to this day. It's an amazing, amazing story where the Virgin Mary appeared in the Geo Center of the Americas. And in just a moment, Dan Lynch is going to join me. Dan is the director of Jesus King of All Nations Devotion, and he was the guardian of the missionary image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And he spoke all over the country, really all over the world, about Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I love him because he's a bright guy. He was a judge, a lawyer, an author, a video producer. He wrote a book on all the saints of the states, and I think just came out with another one. I'll have to get caught up to him on that. But if you want to learn more about all of this, I'm sure he has an archive there at jkmi.com. jkmi.com. That's Jesus King's missionary image. Easy way to remember that. But today, besides being the feast of Juan Diego, there's such a great miracle that, you know, I think people who have loved ones that battle addiction need to hear, because, you know, look, I know what it's like. I often share the fact that my own father dealt with his alcoholism. He was a good man. He never raised his hands. It's, you know, addiction grabs people in different ways, right? Kind, generous guy, but addiction had enslaved him until God intervened and he was healed. So miracles take place. And that's the case of an incredible miracle that took place in the life of Juan Diego. And I'm joined today by Dan Lynch. I'm going to let him tell you the story of Juan, of who he was, how God used him, and ultimately how across the centuries, 500 plus years later, God reached out through his intercession and freed somebody from addiction. Hey, it's good to have you with me, Dan. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Drew, and hello to all of our listeners out there in relevant radio land. Happy Feast Day of St. Juan Diego.
It is good to have you, Dan. It's good to hear your voice. We got a lot to talk about. You'll join me again Monday. We'll tell more of the story of Guadalupe and the image, too, which is pretty amazing. But maybe you can bring us back. Tell us a little bit about Juan Diego. You'll probably have to share some of the story of Guadalupe today. And who was he, and how did God choose to use him? And what lessons from this extraordinary man's life can we learn today in terms of faithfulness and trust and fortitude and commitment?
Amen. Well, so Juan Diego was a simple, holy, good Native American in Mexico in the 16th century. He was born in the 15th. He was born in 1474. And on this day, December 9th, in 1531, I'm getting 19 and 15 mixed up. Yep. December 9th in 1531, he had been converted to the Catholic Church. He was a Chicameca Indian, not an Aztec. The Aztecs were the ones who were involved in human sacrifice. But Cortez and the conquistadors came and defeated them and annihilated their whole city in a 90-day siege in 1521, 10 years before the apparitions of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And he converted afterwards because they were never part of the Aztec nation at all. They were enemies of the Aztec. They were friendly. They were converted, he and his wife, and baptized. And so this day, this a few years later, after, you know, it's 10 years later, and he was a widower, 54 years old, and he was doing his normal Saturday routine. You go to Saturday Mass in Mexico City. So it's 10 miles away. It's a 10-mile walk. He's walking along the road early in the morning, and he hears this voice, Juanito, Juanito. And he's going, what the heck is this? You know, it's this beautiful woman's voice. And he lifts up to the mountain, and there's nobody there, but the sun's rising. And he said, birds, all kinds of birds come all over the mountain. He said, the stones are looking like jewels and emeralds and everything like that from the light that was shining on him. And then out from the light came the Blessed Virgin Mary, calling him Juanito, my fine little son, my little son. I'm here for you. I want you help me. I want your help. I need you to be an ambassador for me. So he's stupefied. He said he felt like he was in heaven. But she said, come up to the hill to see me. So he goes up to see her, and she said, I am the perfect and perpetual Virgin Mary, the mother of the one true God, the Lord and Master of heaven and earth, the creator of all things near and far. And I want you to be my ambassador to go to the bishop to ask him to build a church here on this hill, Tepeyac Hill. She said, I want to manifest my son to the people. I want to manifest him through this church. And he's still kind of stupefied. Who, me? You know, an ambassador? He said, well, what should I do? And she said, you just go to the bishop and ask him. So he does. And the bishop is as stunned as Juan Diego was by this strange message and request. So he went back to Our Lady. She said, the bishop said, no, go back to the lady. He goes back to Our Lady, back to the bishop. The bishop rebuffed him twice. Finally, and he came back and he said, the bishop told Juan, you have to ask this lady for a sign so I can believe. So Juan goes back the last time to Our Lady and says, the bishop wants a sign. And she said, okay, come back tomorrow and I'll give you the sign. That would have been December 11th. So he goes home. December 11th, he gets up. His uncle's sick. He's got the fever. So Juan Diego, charity begins at home. I remember that. Juan Diego says, well, I guess I'll just have to not see this lady today and get my sign. I'll just go to get a priest for my dying uncle. So he's going to Tepeyac Hill, and he said, maybe she'll see me and she'll know I'm avoiding her. So I'll hide. I'll go around the back of the hill so she won't see me. This is how naive and simple he was, you know, he's being childlike. Here's the Queen of Heaven up there in the hill waiting for him, and he's standing her up on that date. And he goes around the back way. She comes down the hill, intercepting him. Juanito, what path is this that you're on? He's totally shameful and embarrassed, you know. But we should all ask ourselves that. Yeah. What path are we on our way to God through Our Lady? You know, where are we on that stage? So he says, oh, my uncle's sick. I'm going to get a priest to get him the last rites. And she said, he is well.
what is your problem? He said, well, the bishop asked for this sign, and my uncle's sick, so I couldn't do both. And she said, go to the top of the hill, and you'll find your sign. So it's in the middle of the winter, okay? It's December 12th. He went to Mexico, warm down there in the wintertime. And so he starts walking up the hill, and all of a sudden, right before him, blossoms, all these roses blossom in front of him. So she said, pick the roses, put them in your tilma, and bring them to the bishop. That will be his sign. So a tilma was like a cloak. You wore it around your house like a poncho, you know, over your head and then down around you. It was a work garment. You could put things in it when you carried it in. So he lifted up the bottom of this poncho-like thing, the tilma, and he put these flowers in there. And you know how men would do that. He could just kind of pick them up and threw them in. And he starts off, and Our Lady's in all the details. You know, just a moment, my son. Let me arrange the flowers. So like any woman, she arranged the flowers in a beautiful way so that the bishop would be pleased with her gift. And then she says, now go off, my son. You are my ambassador, worthy of my confidence in you. Mm. So he went on for the last time, hoping he'd get there. And finally, the bishop's guardians let him in because they were playing with him. But the last 3 days, they would say, no, you can't see him. You can't see him. Wait here, there. Finally, he got right in. He walks up to the bishop. He's holding these flowers in this poncho up on his chest. So you really can't see him. You just see the flower head sticking out. And he goes up to the bishop. He said, you have asked Our Lady for a sign. Here is her sign for you to believe her request. So he drops the tilma, the poncho. He drops to the floor, and all the flowers come out and fall on the floor. The bishop falls on his knees in tears. He's staring at Juan Diego. Juan Diego said, what'd I do? What's going on here? What's this? And then he looks at his tilma, and on the tilma is a portrait of Our Lady of Guadalupe, just as he had seen her up on the hill. It just flashed on there immediately. Just the way the colors and everything was just as he had seen her on Tepeyac Hill. The bishop believed immediately, and he said, tell me more about this. And he said, well, she wants you to build a church. She wants you to build a church to manifest her son. She wants her people to find Jesus and know Jesus, especially in the Eucharist. That's what she wanted. She wanted the Eucharist to be there. So the bishop is okay. So they didn't get architects and engineers and do all kinds of testing like you do environmental studies or anything like that, have committees and planners. And in 2 weeks, they had this church built, a primitive church, and they went and they brought the tilma to the church. All the Indians came because Our Lady had said, you are one of my own kind, to Juan Diego. She appeared as an Indian. She looked like a mestiza. She was a mixed race between the Spanish, who were the conquerors, and the Indians, because she wanted them to live in harmony. So she looked like a mestiza, and they called her the Modernita, the little dark lady. And so they bring the tilma to the celebration. All the Indians come because they felt welcome. The message was for them that she was one of their own kind. And they're in jubilation. They're shooting arrows into the air and shooting and dancing and everything like that. Unfortunately, one of these arrows came down right into the chest of one of the natives that was celebrating, and he dropped dead on the spot. He was right there lying on the floor dead. This is the first miracle. Somebody gets an idea. Let's put the tilma of Our Lady over him. So they bring the tilma over, they lay it over him, and he rises from the dead. Everybody saw it. Couldn't be denied. There's a beautiful mural of it at the Basilica in Mexico City now. You can see him rising from the dead just from putting the tilma over. It was also symbolic. It was like the rising of the Native Americans to new life, a resurrection for their whole culture. After the conquest, you know, they had nothing. Their whole culture was destroyed, and now they have Jesus. Now Jesus has come to his mother to be with them, to bring them to the one true church.
Well, Dan, I'll tell you what, let me just pause you right there because I have to take a short break, unfortunately. On the other side, we'll be back. Let's pick it up. And, of course, let's talk about Juan Diego today and the power of his intercession. We'll kind of summarize the rest of this incredible story. We'll talk more about it on Monday. But when we come back, we'll also share about Juan Diego's own life that followed these visions and ultimately the power of his intercession today. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. We'll be right back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Just bringing you up to speed on a powerhouse saint, one that's often forgotten, one who lived about 500 years ago. Today, we remember in a special way the great feast of Saint Juan Diego, a man who actually saw the Virgin Mary. She came under the title of the Virgin of Guadalupe. And this is perhaps one of the greatest Marian apparitions of the past 2,000 years. He died in 1548. It wasn't until about 1990 that he was beatified, and then he was canonized 12 years later. I'm joined today by Dan Lynch. He's an expert on Guadalupe, an author of The Saints of the States. You can check him out at jkmi.com. So, Dan, just for the sake of time, I have maybe 9 or 10 minutes left with you. What happened after the visions with Juan? And did he live a humble life? What happened? And why did... It's interesting how heaven works. It took almost a half a millennia before he would ever be raised to the altars. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And yet God is using him in our own day. So let me throw that back into your court. Take us through the latter part of his life and how God is now using his intercession.
Okay, so we left off at the miracle of the resurrection of the Indian who was shot and killed by an arrow, and then they put the tilma over him, and he rose from the dead. Well, that story spread all through the whole Indian nation. It went out in the grapevine all over. Everybody, she's one of our kind, you know. She identified herself as one of the kind of the Native Americans, and the miracle of this resurrection. So they all flocked to Juan Diego, you know. And he said, well, I'll have to set up shop here. I'm going to be. So he got a hermitage outside the church, and he began to explain the image, how Our Lady said she was one of their own kind, and the prayer, and how she, the symbolism in it, spoke to him like a pictograph, you know. Mm-hmm. They read the message. She appeared as Revelation 12, the woman clothed with the sun with the moon at her feet, pregnant with child. She appeared that same way. And pointing to the bruise on her neck, which was the cross of Christ, the Indians knew that she was a pregnant mother who cared for them, and that she was pointing them to Christ. So they believed. It was massive.
Amen.
Families left their homes to come all to Mexico City to be baptized. You know, the Franciscans couldn't keep up with it. 9 million Indians were baptized in 9 years. That's a novena of years of baptisms. Of a million, you know. The largest evangelization in the history of the world. And he continued there in that hermitage to the day he died, living right outside the church. He died at the age of 1574. And he was a saint, not because he saw Our Lady or she appeared to him. He was a saint because of the virtues that he practiced. Obedience to her, he did what she asked, in spite of it sounded like a ridiculous story. You know, so but he believed. He had faith, hope, and love, and so should we all. And that was the beautiful story there. And we fast forward till today, in this age, with all addictions and everything like that, you wouldn't think, what does he have to do with addiction? Well, his name was called out. There was this young man, his name was Juan. You see how heaven works, you know? Well, first of all, I should tell you, Pope John Paul II, Pope John Paul II, was in Mexico City beatifying Juan Diego, declaring that he was blessed. That's the last stage before sainthood. To be a saint, you need one more saint. You have one more miracle. Mm-hmm. You have to have one more miracle after you're beatified, okay? St. John Paul II in one church in Mexico City beatifying, declaring him blessed. At the very moment he declares Juan Diego blessed, this other Juan is in his house, in an apartment with his mother, a drug addict, in an addiction fit. And he's stabbing himself. He can't kill himself. He's screaming out loud, I'm going to kill myself. Life's not worth it. Blood spurting all over the place. And his mother, Esperanza, which means hope. This is a wonderful story. This is happening just as Juan Diego is being declared blessed. Juan Silva is committing suicide. He can't kill himself. He goes to the window, opens the window. He's trying to jump out the window, 3 stories high. His mother, he can't quite get out. His mother grabs his legs, and she's holding him back, but she doesn't have the strength to hold him. Can you imagine holding your son who's screaming and bloody, blood all over the place, and he falls. Three stories. As he starts falling, she screams out. She says, Juan Diego, save this son of mine. And then she turns to Our Lady. She says, and you, Our Lady of Guadalupe, listen to Juan Diego for my son. And he hits the ground, splatters all over the place in the ground. He was as good as dead. They take him to the hospital, and they said, put him in intensive care. There's nothing we can do for him. Just leave him there, and we'll just try to give him comfort care. For 3 days, he was in there like Jesus, okay? Like Jesus, for 3 days. On the third day, he wakes up and goes, what am I doing here? Why am I in this hospital? No blood, no wounds, no nothing. It's like another resurrection. Oh. And the doctors, the examiner said, what the heck is this? We've never seen anything like this in our life. So there's one of the internationally known doctors, Hernandez Alescas with his name. He said, this is absolutely, tonally, medically inexplicable. It's unheard of, amazing, inconceivable. And Juan is an intercessor now for all families who are broken by sin. The family was reconciled. Juan Silva was healed totally. It was a miracle. It was declared a miracle. And that's why he became a saint in 1990. And I went down there. It was in June of 1990 when St. John Paul II came back to canonize him. And I was there for that very happy day.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, people should have him in mind at St. Juan Diego for addiction. Everybody's addicted today to something, you know, from the plugs in their ears to the phone in their hand to the drugs and alcohol and sex. It's all distraction from God. All these things that take us away from God. That's why have earphones in their ears, because they don't like silence. They can't deal with them.
Dan, let's do this. I only have a couple minutes left. I want to get a quick call or two in for you. I mean, I love that story, and I do hope people will turn to him. If you are struggling with addiction or someone you know is, turn to him. If you're a mother, turn to St. Juan Diego. You see how he intervened for her. He had compassion for her. Aaron is listening in Hastings, Michigan. He's got a question for you. Aaron, good afternoon. You're on the air with Dan Lynch.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. The question I had, I'm sorry, how do you say his name again?
Yeah, no, you got it. Dan Lynch, or Juan Diego.
Juan Diego, thank you. What is he the patron saint of?
Patron saint of? Addicts now.
Yeah.
But officially, he's the Pope St. John Paul II names him protector and advocate of the indigenous peoples of all North America. Protector and advocate of the indigenous peoples, you know, the Native Americans. That's what he named about. That's his official patronage.
I love it. Hey, Aaron, thank you for calling. I got to leave it right there because I have less than a minute to go here. I don't know where the time today went. Dan, you and I will talk on Monday. We'll talk about another phenomenal gift, the tilma of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I know it has the missionary image has wept, and there's been heartbeats heard in it, and there's unbelievable imagery, even music in the tilma itself. We'll talk about that on Monday. If people want to follow you, the best way to get connected, I'm assuming, is just jkmi.org or .com?
.com. Yeah, I've got an article on my website, my blog today about Juan Diego. It tells a much bigger story. And I wrote about him in my books, Saints of the States. And I got a book, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Mother of Hope. I got a DVD, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Hope of the World, shown on EWTN many, many times.
That's great.
jkmi.com. It stands for Jesus King MaryImmaculate.com. And yesterday we celebrated the Immaculate Conception.
Amen. I'm going there now, Dan. I'm going to look for that particular article. I got to leave it there. We'll talk Monday. My deepest gratitude. Stay with me when we return. We're going to revisit a wonderful conversation we had with Father Mark Barron. You'll love rock and roll. I think you'll find this conversation compelling. Stay with me. Our conversation continues right after this.